Well, good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I think these dialogues where we recognize that antimicrobial resistance and use is a complex issue and is part of, you know, a number of pressures coming from human health, animal health, environmental use is something that's really important. And within the food animal industry, it's a dialogue that we're constantly trying to engage in to learn from each other, and I think today gives that an opportunity to hear some of our different programming. Responsible antibiotic use has been a historic priority for the pork industry, and I'll talk a little bit about the evolution of some of our programming and activities here. But first I'll start out with just talking about pork consumption and how pork is an important to you, to your patients, if you have your patients, your families, as part of your dietary intake. And as well, Dr. Hansen already nicely touched on some of the uses, but how we use antibiotics in the pork industry. And then a lot more detail, which was the focus of my presentation, on some of the activities and programming regarding responsible antibiotic use. And again, I have no relationships to disclose. Pork is the world's most eaten meat, according to the U.S. Foreign Agricultural Service. Most Americans also eat pork. And the Dietary Guidelines for Americans in 2010 state that both plant-based and animal-based sources of lean protein can be part of a healthy dietary plan. And as of February 2012, the American Heart Association certified pork tenderloin as a lean protein. So now when you go in the store, you'll see pork tenderloin with the American Heart Association heart check on it as a lean protein and part of a healthy dietary program. You know, as well as I know, that protein, which includes pork, is a priority. Nearly 6 in 10 Americans consider protein in their food selection, and nearly all of these people are trying to get more of it. In 2008, pork producers came together and established a set of ethical principles. And when you take a look at these ethical principles, what they really are is they're the pork producer's obligation as an industry to you as the consumer in order to build trust and maintain trust in our products and our practices. So within these ethical principles, our practices surround around producing safe food, which is one of them, and also ensuring practices to protect public health. And this you'll see as within the industry is called our We Care initiative. So we all know that times have changed. And we know that they've changed not only in pork production, but they've really changed in food production in general in order to supply the global demand as well as consumer needs. In today's production systems, this provides a clean, comfortable, and safe environment. So having the pigs in an indoor setting, in those settings, heat and cold can be managed, and this in turn decreases stress of the animals and reduces their disease. And this has really been an evolution over time, so we've seen the development of barns that are optimized for animal health. So that means we have flooring which reduces waste and moves the waste away from the animals. We restrict predators as well as animals that can bring in diseases such as toxoplasmosis and trichinosis. And we've seen a substantial decrease in those public health related diseases with today's production systems. As well, there's other additions, airflow, but what it really also does is provides an environment so that the veterinarian and producer can daily monitor the health of the animals and then can treat the animals when necessary using antibiotics, but remembering that this is part of an entire health herd program. It's one tool in a toolbox that maintains animal health, and I think that's really an important point to recognize and remember. So no matter what production size, whether it's small to large, all our pork producers abide by our ethical principles. So that's using management practices to produce safe food, and it's making sure we use animal health products to produce safe food and to protect public health. And I'll talk a bit more about that too. So just a little point of clarification. This often comes up and is confusing to people. But in the pork production, there are no hormone-containing products for U.S. pork producers to use in nursery, grower, or finisher pigs, so within the production system. And regarding antibiotic issues, there's really two very distinct areas, which is also something that's confusing and really important to understand. There's the issue of residues, and that's the amount of drugs that would be in a tissue at slaughter. And then there's resistant bacteria. So I'll talk about both of these a bit more. But resistant bacteria is the one that has garnered a lot of public health attention and consumer attention. And that's the concern that the resistant bacteria may be on a carcass, it may be consumed by a human, and if it is, it may cause an illness that is more difficult to treat. If we're talking about residues, when the FDA approves an antimicrobial for use in food production animals, and unfortunately Dr. Phillips isn't here, but he would have gone through the steps that happens, and when they approve it, they look at human health, they look at food safety, they look at environmental health, and they make sure that safe levels are set so that if they're, so in target tissues or within the meat, it's below a tolerance level in edible tissues. And on the label, there's a withdrawal period so that when a producer or a veterinarian gives an antimicrobial, the animal remains untreated for a period of time before it goes to slaughter according to the label. At the slaughter plant, the USDA inspectors in turn test the target tissues to make sure that the residues aren't above the tolerance level. If they are, it's violative, and this is considered illegal. And we have an extremely low incidence of violations in pork production. Now, looking a little bit more at the uses of antibiotics in pork production, and much of this is similar to what Dr. Hansen talked about, there's different ways that antimicrobials can be administered. They can be administered by individual treatments, and this would be primarily injection of an individual animal. They can also be administered in groups, two groups of animals. So this would be in the water, or it could be in the feed. If it's in the feed, this is called a medicated feed. And when a medicated feed is mixed, it's only mixed according to the label dose. So you can't use a different different than is on the label. So it's mixed according to FDA-regulated label doses. It's mixed according to good production practices, so that limits or reduces the risk of having any sort of contamination between a medicated feed and a non-medicated feed. And then within that, the records are kept and the withdrawal times are established for that group of animals. So there's oversight in all those areas. And we talked a little bit about this as well, but a little more information on group treatments, because I think people don't always understand why we would use a group treatment. So group treatments can be for a number of different reasons, and these are all FDA-labeled doses for whether FDA-labeled uses, whether it's group or individual. For growth promotion uses, that would improve growth promotion or nutritional efficiency, and this is considered subtherapeutic by FDA. You can also administer an antimicrobial to a group of animals at a prevention level. So what this means is that historically in a flow of pigs through a system, they may see disease at this particular time due to various stresses. And the veterinarian's knowledge of this, the producer's knowledge, historic knowledge of this, allows them to know when this occurs, administer the antimicrobial to prevent the disease from occurring, protect animal health, and therefore human health.
Can I ask a question, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Sure.
What it does is that it works on the gut health, so it increases the gut, which allows them to use food more efficiently, so that way it increases the growth of the animal. It also has some effects on disease prevention and disease control, although those are the purpose of it is to increase the growth promotion according to that label. And we've seen in other countries where they removed growth promotion that we've had some increases in disease within those herds, so it has some other side effects as well as increasing the health of the animals. And you'll see both those terms, growth promotion, nutritional efficiency. And at the same time, it would decrease your waste because you're using your food more effectively, and then you're decreasing your waste. That's a good question. The other label, so if you would administer at a control label for an animal, this is a group of animals. When you may have a low level of disease in some animals in the herd, and you're administering the antibiotic to prevent other healthy animals from getting sick. And then treatment, of course, is when you're treating a group of clinically ill animals. And these are all considered by the Food and Drug Administration as therapeutic labeled uses of antimicrobials. Yes, sir?
When it's used with
That's based on historic knowledge of having the disease. So say when a wiener pig, when a pig is weaned, it comes in, you know, it's like going to daycare. You're mixing pigs, you're having increased stress, and you may see some disease there. So they would prevent that disease from occurring and affecting an entire herd, which affects your animal health. Yeah, so you're expecting this disease within the herd. Does that make sense? Do you want me to... So I get a few more minutes there. All right, so there's just an example of someone mixing a medicated feed. The veterinary client-patient relationship within the pork industry is a very strong focus of our programming and activities. Just touching on antibiotic resistance, again, we know that antibiotic use within all different areas has potential selection pressures, and so there are risks, but there are benefits that we also have to consider. It's a very complex, multifaceted issue, you know as well as I do. Drawing causal relationships is extremely difficult and has to be done with care on science-based evidence and risk-based assessments. Numerous peer-reviewed risk assessments show negligible risk to public health, and we have to think about when we're using these, using them responsibly. But healthy animals equals healthy food. And there's some evidence that if we've seen through scientific studies, if we have an animal that is unhealthy, it can potentially have an increased risk of carcass contamination with foodborne pathogens. As an industry, we definitely support FDA risk-based drug approval processes, which we've talked about. And really, responsible use is the key in all areas, whether it's animal health, human health, environmental use. And I'll talk a little more detail here about our programming and activities surrounding this. So I said it's been an evolution. We've had an evolution of programming over several years, focused on continuous improvement, recognizing those needs and how to use antibiotics responsibly as one tool in many types of tools in the toolbox to protect herd health. In 1989, we developed the Pork Quality Assurance Program, and this is really an educational program that focused primarily at the time on animal welfare and food safety, and was an educational program for producers to make sure that we had a safe product going to the marketplace. In 1999, the judicious use of therapeutic guidelines was established for pork producers, and you have them, we all have them, but this one aligns with the American Veterinary Medical Association as well as the American Association of Swine Veterinarians, which are our veterinary body for the pork industry. In 2002, we had a pork board statement which really emphasized that it's important to have responsible use of antibiotics, but it's important to have effective antimicrobials and available antimicrobials when necessary to treat disease, which is essential to ensure food safety and public health. And any sort of decisions affecting the availability should be based on transparent and sound science. And that's something that, as an industry, we really support, and I'll talk a bit more about that. In 2006, we had the Take Care, Use Antibiotics Responsibly program, which focused specifically on responsible antibiotic use as an educational program for producers. So there was videos, pamphlets, sit-down sessions, and really went through in detail how to use antibiotics responsibly and work with your veterinarian. In 2007, we expanded the PQA Plus program, so it incorporated those responsible antibiotic use from the Take Care program. This program is an educational program that pork producers go through with their veterinarian or other expert who's been trained in giving the program. They write a test and they're recertified every 3 years, as well as their site visits to ensure that the program is in place. This is required now by all major U.S. pork abattoirs or slaughter facilities as a condition of sale. So in order to sell your animal and have it go to market, you have to be PQA Plus certified. The program itself involves 10 good production practices. And I think you can probably see that. Good Production Practice 3 focuses on responsible antibiotic use. It goes into detail on the principles and guidelines on using those responsibly, but it's part of an entire programming. So you'll see number 1 is focusing on the veterinary client-patient relationship, number 2 on an effective herd health plan, number 4 on administering the products appropriately, And that has a lot to do with residues, administering them appropriately so that the withdrawal times are followed, and following proper feed processing protocols. This is just sort of an example of some of the principles that are within that, and then within that is a lot more text and details on the guidelines on using antibiotics responsibly and working with your veterinarian. And just to end off, I'll touch on, beyond our programming, we have a lot of activities and other programming that surrounds antibiotic use. I think first off, we have an established position of director, producer, and public health, which is really valuable. This has been in place for several years. I hold it right now, and basically it's being engaged in all those human-animal interface issues. So antibiotic use being one of them, but also other zoonotic diseases, as well as workplace safety and protecting our workers. We also have a committee within the Science and Technology Department. We have 7 directors. We look at a variety of areas, food safety, welfare, as well as swine health. Those are just some examples. And we each have a committee. So my committee is made up of 20 people. It includes pork producers, it includes subject matter experts, and it includes industry relations. We come together twice a year. We fund research, and we look at various activities related to the pork industry and engage in those, as well as develop priorities for the industry which relate to public health and workplace safety. We also bring together topical working groups. So, for instance, I brought in a group of subject matter experts to update our PQA Plus guidelines for 2013 to make sure we're addressing all those issues and our producers are using or being educated on using antibiotics responsibly. And we also fund a significant amount of research. Within all our directors have a research budget. For 2013, CHECOF, which is the Pork Producers Contribution to the National Pork Board, and we use this for research, education, and promotion, dedicated $550,000 to producer health, producer public health, and workplace safety. Now, understanding we don't do this research. We do a call for proposals. There's one up right now. It goes out broadly. Researchers send in proposals, and we get a range of them. I've had calls from everyone from human medicine to animal health to pharmaceuticals. They submit those proposals. They go out to scientific advisors or scientific reviewers. They review the proposals for scientific content, and then they go to the committee and are reviewed for industry priorities. So it's quite an extensive process, like any of your other research processes. I've already talked about our producer certification, our responsible antibiotic use guidelines, and again, just the final sort of focus on the strong partnerships between human and animal health. We work very closely with the American Association of Swine Veterinarians on all of our guidelines and working together on our programming. We work closely with the Centers for Disease Control. I do this on a number of issues which occur at the human-animal interface. I think you probably are familiar with some of those. And we work closely with the United States Department of Agriculture. Related to antimicrobial resistance with the CDC and USDA, we work closely on producer participation of the National Antimicrobial Resistance Monitoring Program. So this looks at trends in resistance monitoring in food, retail, as well as humans, as well as on the farm. And we work within that system for producer input there. Also, the National Animal Health Monitoring System and our laboratory network of National Animal Health Laboratories. So diagnostics are an important part of a herd health plan. The veterinarian will often send in samples to look at sensitivities, and that's part of the National Animal Health Diagnostic Lab will help with those in order to administer the appropriate antibiotics. So in summary, pork producers support the responsible use of antibiotics, no matter what field this is in, human, veterinary, environment use. Professional veterinary input is a very strong focus for the guidance on antibiotic use in the pork industry. Again, sound science, risk assessments as the basis for research that informs guidelines, education, and policy. And I've talked about here science-based principles to develop our guidelines on antibiotic use. So thank you very much for that opportunity.